Hey folks, Joe Jurisic here, another From the Field. I'm with my good friend Russ Stokes from Ivanhoe Nursery in Mundelein, Illinois. Russ, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, yourself?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Finally got some rain over the past couple days, and it's middle August. Perfect time to sit down and talk about nursery.
Yeah, that's it has been nice weather, that's for sure.
We'll take it. The humidity though, we could stand to get rid of. That was not fun. Well, Russ, I'll go ahead and pass the mic over to you. How about you tell us a little bit about Ivanhoe Nurseries?
All right. Well, Ivanhoe Nursery had its beginnings probably in the year 2009. Prior to that, the fam it's a family-owned business. It's owned by the Wirtz family out of Chicago. But they had grown a few trees for the Ivanhoe Country Club, and they decided that they wanted to take, and I believe they got about 450 acres here, which dates back to like 1857,
Wow.
when the original owner ran the place. And they've always, for a long time, or for the probably the past 25, 30 years, like a lot of farmers, they've just grown corn and soybeans. And they wanted to venture off into something a little different. And so they decided that maybe the trees might be the thing, or some shrubs. And they were also in contact with some of the people out of Chicago, like Christie Weber Landscapes and the Fiore family, as to, hey, what would be some good items to grow over here. So that's where they called me in to start up a nursery. And in 2009, we started a little bit. It wasn't until really 2010 that we started putting in more liners. And I say more liners, that would probably in the neighborhood of around 3,000 liners. So since that time, we've went from 10 acres to about 130 acres now. And so that's kind of where we're at this point in time.
Nice. And you got a good mix there on the property too. You're doing, shade tree ornamentals, evergreens, correct?
Right. When I originally came in as someone to start the nursery, everybody said, "Oh, grow specialty crops. Grow, oh, you need this. You need, items." And I'm going like, I don't know if they're going to do well here. I mean, there is a market for those unusual plants, but I'm not sure this is the growing area for those plants. So, as we've went along, we've really tried to define as to this is what we can grow and this is what we can do well. The rest of this stuff, if you got to have it, I'm going to buy it in just like a lot of other people. And some of it's coming from the West Coast.
Some of that specialty stuff. I would say, as much as I love Northern Illinois, it's not sometimes the best growing climates for those one-off maybe even some of the Japanese maples or some of the other unique items that folks like to plant along the lake.
Right. So
Well,
it's been a work in progress, still is. I believe that I was able to recruit some people from another nursery, a large nursery up in Wisconsin, and they've been very instrumental in being able to help me grow this business. And without them, because they had the knowledge and the ability, so I've really relied on them to, help me get this place started. But now we feel pretty good about where we're at. We got a lot of trees in the ground. We got a lot of stuff that's up to size. And we have tried to do things right from the, we always say best practices. And so we even though labor is always tight and you can always find a lot of different jobs to put people on, there's some priorities that have just got to take place no matter what, and no matter what the weather is.
Yeah, that probably when it comes to pruning and spraying, especially at different times of the year, you kind of got to drop everything else to make sure you hit the marks. Otherwise, it could, and not end well.
Right. And I think our biggest challenges, though, well, There's a lot of challenges in this business, as I'm sure you find out from talking to a lot of people. But, one, in my mind, we've had so many ups and downs with the weather. I believe that climate change is real. And I've seen, I mean, we've went through the polar vortexes twice where, geez, the boxwood was just burnt back to nothing, to where we've had some pretty mild winters. And then we seemed like we're either we've had years where we went into really quite dry, had a drought. Fortunately, we got two good wells on the property, so we're able to drip irrigate a lot of things. But all of a sudden, where you're seeing ponds and standing water, everything from spring rains to the summertime, where whoa, when's it going to rain? So, but this year I got to admit, the weather has been decent. So.
Yeah, it seems like the norms that were, call it 10, 15, even 20 years ago, I think those are all starting to change. I remember in my contracting days, a couple of years ago, we were still planting even in December because the ground wasn't frozen. It was mild. We didn't get our first snow till middle of January, and then it was cold all the way up even through April. So seems like kind of the trends are shifting around a bit, and then you get a wild card of a year. Like the polar vortex, where we even saw dieback on it with burning bush, Mariaceae viburnums. I know it really hit some of the London plane trees hard. It's hard to anticipate, kind of how the weather's going to affect it. We run a bit more of a gamble than the row crop farmers some days.
Yeah, and I think the guys that farm and generally grow a crop of corn, what do they need? About 120 days of growing time. But we're talking a minimum of 3 years to outwards a ginkgo tree. Geez, I mean it's 7 years before you're gonna have that thing up to size to be able to sell. So with the way the weather patterns change year after year, you never know what you're gonna get, and you don't know when you're going to get hurt by it. But and then I think too, the other which has been for a long time is labor. I mean, we are definitely, there's not a lot of available labor, and it's very difficult to find people that are interested in this business. And it's hard work. I mean, and like construction workers, a lot of times they're out there when, when the snow is flying, but they're loading a truck. So it's been, that's another factor that's, I think that's going to play a big part in this business.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's trying to solve the labor issue. Some nurseries have been fortunate, and local labor has still come through, whether it be existing families that have continued to come back year after year. I know there's the H-2A program that a lot of nurseries are looking at going to, just to get guaranteed labor, just to get the normal tasks done in the field. And the other part in that too is mechanization. I was at that Cultivate show a couple of weeks ago, and they had a whole aisle, and not a small aisle, a large aisle dedicated to robots and automation, pot filling machines, new technology with that, even when it comes down to cuttings. And ultimately that's just going to transfer down the road to the finished growers like yourself. And that's something that I think a lot of growers are taking a look at. Have you guys looked into anything of that nature for on your end? I know, sometimes it's a little bit harder to apply in a smaller scale, but I think, as the future goes on, any little bit of help does make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, what I've seen, and I've been in this business for a lot of years. I started out back in the oh, let's see, late 70s, and so I've seen a lot of different trends and a lot of different things. Technology is playing a big part, and I really, have once I found out what Landscape Hub could do for me. I was very interested in it and wanted to get on board. Not that there isn't still some hiccups here and there, but
We're
it's it's
not
one
perfect.
way to get your product, to other people. And So I, and then just the fact that, you know, a lot of times you don't have to pick up the phone to take an order. You're just, you know, sending an email, you're typing back, this is what we got, these look good. You guys have recently added the ability to say, hey, he wants a picture. Okay, it's a little bit of a pain in the butt to go and take the picture, but hey, if that's what seals the deal, that's what you got to do.
The photo requests that got recently released, it's a great way to manage photo requests. I mean, it's I know there is some mixed feelings out there about it, but I think photos, unfortunately, and in some regard, it does help. I mean, sometimes you got to know what you're getting into, especially if you're a designer and you're trying to meet that specific need of the customer. Photos will always be a thing, but I think having a consolidated way in fashion to manage them too. That way, you know, they don't slip through the cracks because everyone is running on such a kind of a ghost crew in a sense. You're getting pulled in seven different directions for us. I mean, from managing the field staff to making sure the trucks come in on time to, you know, everything else involved with nursery production and having an additional tool to help manage those photo requests. It's I think it's going to help make a difference. You know, it's released and we're always making improvements to it as well. We've had a lot of good feedback on it, and I think as we age as a company, we'll the photo request will just get it even that much better.
Right. Yep.
I
So.
want to talk real quick. Since you had so much time in the industry and seeing different trends, how do you take that knowledge and apply it to your future plantings? What because that's a real discussion point in talking with nurseries about planning for the future. Because you're right, you know, Ginkgo's your turnaround times 10, 15 years, depending on the size of the liner or you know, kind of where you're putting it in the field too, how it acclimates to the soil. But what are you using to kind of make your decisions for getting the field situated for future crops?
Well, I've been a lot more conservative in what I'm choosing to grow, to tell you the truth. And what that does, that puts me in the same ballpark that, you know, everybody's growing autumn glazed maples. But hey, it still grows well here, and this is what they're asking for. You know, when I first started here, like I said, there were people, oh, you got to grow, you know, Heptacodium menicotes, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. You know what? Hey, a lot of that stuff just doesn't work. And so, you know, but there's suppliers out there that can supply that plant if you need it. And so, you know, we try to carry the full you know, what people are looking for. I mean, you're talking about pictures. We deal a lot with Hispanic landscapers, and a lot of these guys are, you know, they're mowing somebody's lawn, but the person needs a an arborvitae replaced. Well, they take a picture of it and then they come in and show us. They really don't know what they want, but by the picture that they've taken on their iPhone, then we're able to tell them what it is that they need.
Well, I mean, that support's huge because I think a lot more folks are looking to diversify, you know, their business. And if they don't have the plant knowledge right away, having you guys as a resource is huge because you can guide them. Especially, you know, if that helps that landscaper make a couple extra bucks. I mean, that's huge. Everyone's, you know, everyone's got a mortgage to pay. Everyone's got bills to pay, you know, and being that resource and having the full gamut, I think really helps, especially with you guys and where your location's at. I mean, you're quick to the North Shore, also north up into Wisconsin, and even in south too. What other areas do you cover, Russ? Where how far out have you gone?
Well, we've shipped quite a few loads up into mid Wisconsin, or central Wisconsin, and the over there in Minnesota. As far as going south, I think we've had a few buyers from the Indiana, but not too many. I mean, I'd like to get more people from down there. And then, yeah, one of our goals, I think, is to try to expand a little bit further west. But for the most part, a lot of our business is just, you know, people that are within a probably a 30-mile radius, including a lot of customers that, you know, you guys send our way.
Yeah, that having the ability to even, capture someone that's local, maybe that you didn't even know about. I know a lot of folks turn their landscape hub for that.
Right. Well, the other thing of it is too, I don't think a lot of people, I don't think, realize how much transportation is. I mean,
Yep.
to bring a load in from the West Coast is an expensive deal. And and the West Coast growers, they've got the same problems we've got. There's a labor shortage. And so they've had to, bump up their prices. They've had to try to retain people. But combine that with the cost of a freight, and now you're looking at, $5,500, $6,000 to bring a load in from the West Coast.
Yeah, it's and even back in the spring when fuel was spiking, I heard some scarier numbers than that. Some touching close to 10,000 depending on where you were going. So it's yeah, transportation I know has been a big thing on folks' mind and how to factor those costs in, especially on projects that were bid last year. I mean that's tough going back to a customer. Some of the listeners probably can sympathize on that of doing a bid end of last year, using last year's prices, maybe factoring some extra in to cover some unforeseen forecast, but then all of a sudden your freight bill comes back at 30, 40% load to order value. Kind of makes you shrug your shoulders a little bit. Wanted to something that we kind of do on the podcast a lot is we shake up the crystal ball and we pass it to the folks we're talking to. Russ, I'm going to give you the crystal ball. 5, 7 years out, where do you see the nursery industry?
Well, obviously, I think as you hit on it before, automation is going to take place. I mean, we just got to be able to accept that, and I think you're going to see, and then technology is going to continue to hopefully make our lives, easier. I what I see though is, I'm not quite sure, that the I think we're going to be able to supply trees are going to be in demand and shrubs for municipalities, but I don't know if the homeowner is going to be that big of a factor. I just don't see that many homes going up anymore. People, go rent an apartment. They go, buy a townhouse. It's so I don't know if it's going to be a tough business. I still think it's going to be, it's like it always has been. It's going to have its challenges.
Yeah, the seem the tree sales across the country, it just depends on where everything is being built up, and it's I think part of that too is trends and what type of trees people are going to be interested in, and that's where I think the experience and knowledge and looking at data sets, we all know that anything columnar or upright or tight growing is popular just because folks that are doing replantings and such don't want a huge big 40, 50 foot wide maple or even Kentucky coffee tree, even though that one of my favorite trees out there. So I think a lot of folks are trending more towards those. And the bigger trees, I agree. I think you'll probably see them in a bit more of a park setting. Something that I actually haven't talked about at all in the podcast so far has been the Emerald Ash Borer era and tree replacements for that. When you, in your production, what were you recommending to folks? What did you notice as a popular seller coming out of the nursery for those replanting projects? I'm gonna, kind of change it up a little bit here. What was, hot at the time? And do you think those trends will continue going forward?
I think that, I think the unknowns though, again, is what's climate change going to do to us? I mean, when you see temperatures up in Portland, Oregon, hitting 110 degrees, that's just really abnormal. And, but it's becoming more and more normal. And I think we've been in a little pocket here in the upper Midwest that we've been fortunate not to have to go through some of that stuff. But I think it's coming. And it's hard to, I mean, we've laid out fields where everything was fine. You know, buy all these boxwood liners in, you plant them out, you work hard, you get the weeds out of them. And the next thing you know, you got 4 inches of rain that poured on you, and the ground doesn't take it all. And the next thing you've lost, you know, 20% of your boxwood.
Yep.
So it's not an easy, I think there's a lot of variables that are just kind of piling up. And I have a background where I took a sojourn for a while into the world of hydroponic farming. And I was in charge of some large greenhouses. And I just see that I think that there's going to be a shift of, you know, where we're going to have to go more into greenhouse growing. You know, you already see that with items like strawberries for years were always produced out in the fields. And now they're, you know, greenhouses that are producing strawberries, and they're able to do it because they've got a controlled climate. You know, does that mean that somewhere along the line, boxwood's going to be produced in mass, not just as liners, but, you know, as a finished plant? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, to bring you bring up an interesting point, of how growing trends might change, especially, given the climate. And then also too, we see a lot more automation in the greenhouses just because of you're in a little bit more of a condensed area, but you can spread your cost out over larger crops that way. I'd be intrigued to see if folks start moving that way. Especially with boxwood. I mean, I bet you could probably, point fingers at a couple other plant varieties that just might make more sense to get under glass.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there could, you know, those plants that are very expensive to produce, and you can do it a lot better and you know, more timely. But we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be interesting times for the future.
Yeah, it's I always try to take the optimistic approach. Our future's bright, and the nursery industry, I think we're known to be gluttons for pain. If we wanted something easy, I think we would have all gone into either row crop farming or the steel industry at this point.
Yeah.
So, well, no, Russ, I appreciate your insights, especially since you've been doing this long enough. You've kind of seen, and you've been through already some of the ups and downs. It's going to be interesting to see what pans out over the next couple of months and into next year. Anything else you want to say to the listeners out there?
No, I appreciate the time that you guys are doing. And you know, we never touched upon it, and I need to learn more about the podcast that you guys are doing, because I know it's relatively new. But you know, how do we get people to listen to the podcast? What information is there in the podcast that they can valuable to a grower or a supplier? And but that is technology, and that's where it's going to move. And you know, I'd love to listen to somebody that's a expert on, you know, in this world, driving to and from work, about, you know, hey, this is how we prune this or whatever. I think, you know, it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, myself and my I have a co-host, Will Haverkamp. We kind of we kind of bounce around a lot at Landscape Hub with different roles, and he's going to do some podcasts solo. We'll do some together. And funny you bring that up. We were, I think it was last week, just meeting about what more to add to the podcast. It originally started out, and we actually just released I think a little snippet last on Friday about what we're doing, but we're gonna loop in a lot more, I shouldn't say external sources, but not just nurseries. We're gonna be talking to some other great folks. We've got a lot of cool stuff planned. We're gonna try to incorporate a bunch more technology into this as well. So it won't just be, just only growers. We're gonna try to make it a pretty diversified podcast, because like you said, there are folks out there looking for information. And something that makes I kind of reiterate this a lot on the podcast, and it's just because I love the industry. The green
All right.
industry, we like to share information. Our competitors are also our friends, and what they've succeeded with, they have no problem telling you how to do it and help out, because at the end of the day, we all know there's enough to go around, and we're all like-minded people.
All right.
So yeah, Will and I have a lot of cool things planned for the podcast. We're getting them set up now. So definitely keep an eye out, and social media is the best way. I think that's how we're getting it out there to everyone now. We're also going to be putting all these podcast folks that are partners on Landscape Hub. This will go right on their supplier page. So if folks are searching for material, they can take a look and click the button and then listen to you and I talk and get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's we got a lot of cool stuff planned for the podcast, I think.
Yeah.
And I've noticed a couple more green industry podcasts popping up too. NALP, I think they just released one, and there's another one too out there, Grower Talks.
Right.
And that's a little bit more, I think, greenhouse focused. We'd love to get with them as well if they're listening to this right now. And just kind of have one big discussion. The goal is to help everyone out. So
Yeah.
we
Yep.
all we're all very proud of our work. It's very evident when you go to a trade show or when you talk to people in the green industry, and the more we can help each other out, the more we can make it easier. Maybe we can attract some new folks in and get a fresh set of eyes and keep moving the green industry forward.
Yeah, I absolutely. I was just going to add too. Landscape Hub, I think I don't know if it's semi-annual or if it's annual, but you sometimes put out what customers have requested, which of the top 10 items. I found that very interesting because that really does, somewhat say, well, geez, maybe I better bring a few more of those in, or maybe I better order some of those because that's what people are buying. So, it's you guys are, are in a position to know, hey, what does everybody want out there? And then, it comes back to us and you say, okay, hey, we better react so we can, get a part of the action here.
Well, one of the things that we kind of one of the pain points in the industry we aim to solve is that data, because it's very fragmented, it's all over the place. And you can, like we were talking about earlier, you can look at your own sales and your own kind of experience of what works well, but to kind of have a big helicopter view into it, that's huge. I mean, that could make or break the difference in a field planting of it kind of helps lessen the risk when you do know what folks want, especially if you can, the data sets we provide across all different plant sectors, perennials, deciduous shrubs, evergreens, deciduous trees, ornamentals. Some of that material is quick turn, especially when you're in a container, and being able to have the proper data. I mean, that's huge. I mean, and that's our goal, is to help everyone out and growing the right material or making that decision. Because if not, it can be costly. I always, when I'm on nursery tours with folks, I always joke that when we drive by the burn pile, I said that's called the profit center of the nursery. So, and our
Yeah.
goal is to lessen that. So, yeah, the data stuff is huge, and I think moving forward, I think a lot more focus is going to be put on that, especially with new technology, not just us too. I mean, all the different ERP systems and estimating systems providing data, folks are looking at it. It's making a difference. We've got to
Right.
stay with the times, and
Right.
it's a difference when it comes to the bottom line, and that's huge. So,
Yeah. No, I think that you're right.
but Russ, I've enjoyed talking with you. This has been a great podcast. I hope the folks out there enjoy it just as much as you and I have talking to each other. I want to thank you for your partnership on Landscape Hub. We greatly appreciate it. Folks, check out Ivanhoe Nurseries, their Landscape Hub, or their wow, their inventory is on Landscape Hub. Feel free to give Russ a call. He's a great guy, wealth of knowledge, and hopefully he can help you out and get you some quality plants. Russ, thank you for
Great.
talking today.
Yes, thank you.
All right, folks, check them out on Landscape Hub. Have a great day.
Have a good day. Bye.